And welcome back, everyone. We're so glad you're with us again on a wonderful Mental Health Matters with Dr. Scott Terry on KRUU FM 100.1. And my co-host coming on is Rob Hubler.
Rob Hubler, thank you very much. I'm glad to be here. And we have a special guest today. Our special guest is Professor Ken Daly. And we're going to be talking about Blue Zone in Jefferson County.
And one aspect of that.
Yeah, and I think we'll focus a little bit today on the physical activity and moving naturally and trying to get a little bit more physical activity in a daily routine.
I enjoy getting physical, so let's do it.
I could break in a song right now, but you do not want to hear mine.
No. Or mine. So today we're going to take one aspect of the Blue Zones kind of things. By the way, we broadcast 6:30 on Tuesday nights and Thursdays at 12:30 where we broadcast. So for the Blue Zones, I have a little different take on it. So let me tell you my little take on it, and then let's go into the exercise part of this. My notion is dealing with exercise, diet, nutrition, or simply what's taken in your body, dealing with sleep issues, and transcendence or meditation. Those are the big four that we both agree on are absolutely essential for mental health, anybody's mental health.
And physical health.
Absolutely.
It's just period. It's the basis of successful living, the big four.
And you have to, I think successful living is what's important. It's really looking at, again, this notion of what works for your body. And my body, certain foods won't work for your body, certain foods would work. There isn't an absolute to must this, but there is absolute that everybody's got to be in their body and everybody has to exercise to some degree or your body will degenerate.
Right.
You have to be cognizant of what you're eating, otherwise it won't work for you. I add to that a couple others, which is connecting to yourself and the different parts of yourself, as well as having a relationship to yourself, not being narcissistic, but being able to be self-referential, essentially. A connection, a healthy connection to others. No one lives in an island. A connection to your family and community. A connection to nature and the world outside yourself. And then also looking at our purpose in life, knowing your purpose. Engaging in the therapeutic process is my final point. Mm-hmm. And so we could really look at what are your basics. I can talk about my basics, but what's essential is everybody's sort of learning for themselves what's their basics that they need to address so they could function optimally.
Yeah, I think that's right. It comes back to each person is a unique experiment of one, as I always, when I talk to my students, phrase it as. You have a unique possibility of making you the best you. There is nobody that can change anybody else in the universe. You cannot change anything but yourself. And with that starting point, there are certain things that, as you said a minute ago, that are fundamental to all kind of your base happiness, your base success, your base amount of vibrancy in you. And as a human being. And those are the, just like you said, you got to get some physical activity. You have to have some sense of getting sleep, diet, and this idea of transcendence or higher purpose in life. So now, when you had your longer list that you talked about a while ago, the power nine in the Blue Zones is what those things are characterized. So they just took the same kind of list that you had and broke it into nine classifications because that's easy to do. But I think that those are completely synergistic. I think they're basically the same thing, just different ways of expressing these. And like we were saying, one of those things, which is one of the big four, is physical activity. Now, in the Blue Zone concept, that comes back to the phrase move naturally. Just in everything that you do in your life in a Blue Zones community centers around physical activity. A lot of the communities where the original research was done were communities that had not really lost touch with their roots. They were fairly agrarian societies, lived close to the soil. The only exception to that would be the group in Loma Linda, California, the Seventh-day Adventist Church. They are in the middle of Los Angeles, basically, now. They're surrounded by city, and they used to be out in the country. But so those are a little bit of an exception, but they have kind of institutionalized walking as they are moving naturally, which is what these other communities also were doing, but not because they've institutionalized or brought it back to the physical walking. They just walk to be able to get up to their herds. They're walking to get to their farms. They're walking to get their groceries. They're moving about. They're splitting, chopping, drawing water. You know, they're doing all the stuff that a person has to do to maintain a lifestyle.
Firewood.
Exactly. Yeah, right, exactly. Right. I mean, I just put in my firewood, yesterday.
So
I finished
up.
But yeah. There's a difference between exercise, moving naturally, and working, like working a construction job, which is sometimes just beating up yourself all day. So there's almost three different categories. Mm-hmm. How would you describe those three?
No, I think that that's a pretty good categorization. One of the things that oftentimes happen is that physical work, people say, I'm physically active because I'm tired at the end of the day.
Yeah.
But that doesn't always connect properly together, that you're physically tired, but it's not because of what you've done. It could be the food you're eating, your lack of sleep, etc., or the exercise you're doing is inappropriate. There's very little manual labor, for instance. I mean, the concept of manual labor now is basically eradicated. Mm-hmm. I was driving over to this interview, and I saw some guys, quote, shoveling. Well, they had a little backhoe that was about the size of my Jeep that I was driving over, and it had a little thing about the size, you know, the bucket that they were chewing up the earth with was about the size of a shovel. That was manual labor, and they were basically operating a video game is what they were doing inside of it. So the idea of physical activity and physical exercise, it's almost eliminated from our society.
Well, but even if you're doing like a construction job, like I said, where you're physically doing something, that's not the same as exercise where you're really conditioning your body.
Well, they're repetitive motions, most of those. Most of those kinds of exercises that are manual labor or construction,
etc.,
it's usually a very one motion repeated many, many times for the most part.
Like and if I'm doing the roof of a house and I'm pounding, you know, same.
Right.
Yeah.
We've all put a roof on a house or a shingle from time to time, and I can tell you that at the end of the day you're tired, but it's like one part of me is completely exhausted. And or a series of muscles, but it's very imbalanced.
I like how you're doing, like your one right arm is tired. You can't move your one right arm, but your left arm's fine.
That's right.
What I was going to say is that it seems for me in my life that exercise as opposed to doing work is how I'm connecting my brain and my body also. When I'm out running, which I don't do anymore, but when I'm running, you know, I've got a completely different attachment between my brain and my body than I do. Like for, you know, a couple of years ago, I worked for 3 years in putting air conditioning plants in and heating plants and doing sewers and stuff like that. That was not relaxation. That was not exercise at all for me. But when I got home every night, I went out and did my exercise no matter how tired I was, and that rejuvenated me. And it's
yeah, rejuvenated and rebalanced.
That's
you,
right.
Either physically or psychologically.
Right.
So any good exercise program that has to have a balancing factor on the psychophysiology. Now, the moving naturally is still a legitimate concept, but if you bring it into how we practice our lives right now in 21st century America and developed world, I think that there's at least going to have to be some transition here where we use exercise of a more formal characteristic. until moving naturally can be reintegrated into our society. And it could be that at the end of this experiment that we're involved with, that it's some hybrid between the two, because we need to create balance in our physiology, and that is something that, as you're saying, requires a certain conscious effort.
Right.
Conscious effort.
You know, this is a little bit off, but Frank Lloyd Wright, the great architect, he was a great person on trying to figure out how to make people's lives better. And one of the things was that he created these utopian, on paper, these utopian societies in which you did have to walk to do everything. And it was all based on his experience in Papua New Guinea, in which everybody, as the same thing you were talking about, everybody walked about, and walkabout, by the way, also. You might plug something in there for Australia.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
In the meantime, you are listening to Mental Health Matters on KRUU FM, solar-powered radio in Fairfield, and our special guest is Ken Daly, and I am Rob Hubler, and Dr. Scott Terry.
Great. We didn't introduce ourselves again. I am Scott Terry, and I am a licensed therapist, run a big private practice throughout Chicagoland called the Art and Counseling Center, and I also have a practice throughout Iowa now. I have both private practice, and we're setting up a nonprofit, and I train and supervise many other therapists. So that's who I am. Rob, who was also practicing his exercise by speaking for many years, working that lung capacity as a pastor.
Right. The pastors do other things besides preach. You know, the big thing is a pastor is one of the best jobs in the world because you only work on Sunday. Right. But anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
But yes, I am a retired pastor, and I am also a resident of Fairfield, and luckily, I'm able to do just about anything I want to do.
Sounds good. So. All right. So I also want to mention a couple things about exercise itself. So let's shift the conversation a little bit. So my big notion about exercise is that it includes three fundamental characteristics. So if we're just talking about exercise, and then I want to get more into moving naturally and how they could be incorporated as the two, really encapsulates three different characteristics. One is that you're getting 30 minutes of intensity, which means that you're taking a few minutes to warm up and a few minutes to cool down. But what that intensity means for you is what's important. You're getting your heart rate up, and you're not overstraining and you're not understraining. You're moving your body in a way where you're increasing your capacity as time goes on. You're pushing a little bit of that envelope just every time, just a little bit. I always recommend a heart rate monitor is always a great idea. The ones at the gym are not the greatest. Get a heart rate monitor so you know when you're overworking or you're underworking. You could get a cardio workout, for instance, even doing anaerobic exercise, doing lifting. So that's number one, is moving that heart rate. The second is really about connecting to your body in a mindfulness type exercise, where I could be even lifting, let's say, an isolated curl with my right arm, and I'm just using my right arm to do a bicep curl. Doesn't mean I'm not aware of my left leg and how it's positioned and how my breathing is, my body posture of my back. I'm aware of my whole body from head to toe, how I'm breathing, how I'm connecting to that weight. Is it the right weight? Is it too little, too much? And it's that constant readjustment process, that mindfulness to it, that also really helps us to grow, to know, to really be in that body. And then the third aspect, which I find more fundamental than any of this, is really getting that you are the one choosing to exercise. You are the one choosing to make your body healthier. You're the one choosing to connect to your body. You're the one choosing to make your life matter now for you. And if you could do that for your body, then you could start doing that for your brain and for your mind. And you could start taking control. Ken?
Well, I would say that by the very act of moving and moving consciously, you already have accomplished the mind-body connection. I mean, that's what it is. Moving
and just awareness of it.
Just awareness of it.
Intention.
Intention. Yeah. You see, so many people try to get, I think, mystical and off into very weird territory about some of this stuff. Mind-body connection is a very simple thing. It's just, like you said, it's just being aware of what the heck you're doing at any point in time. Just putting your being here and now in your present moment. And not off thinking about something else or dreaming about something else. Because, and again, that's where people get injured.
Yeah,
almost right. Always. I have a great deal of concern with people coming into the gym who are not present, that they're angry, they're trying to work out their frustration, working out their stress. And you get a lot of people coming in to do that. Almost invariably, they end up hurting themselves because they're not listening. This self-listening, self-monitoring, self-referral, you know, this feedback loop, is you've got to have that alive and well at all times, because if you don't, then all chaos will break out at some point in time.
But working that feedback loop, learning that, really does have implications for the rest of your life. It's not just the exercise itself. It's the muscle of learning how to have that feedback, how to listen to your body. It means that you could also then start listening to your emotions or to your mind or to your thoughts or to whatever is going on or to your partner. You could, these metaphors are active, real metaphors that you're literally implying.
I don't utilizing. Even think they're metaphors.
Okay, good. Even
you
better.
See, I don't even think
I think that was a bad word.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. And if they're not, they're not metaphors. I agree also. But what is it that Blue Zone then is providing opportunities for people to exercise and to, you know, what's Blue Zone doing that makes exercise easier or better or more wanted or whatever?
Well, one of the things that we found, and there are different personalities. We came back earlier that one person's ideal exercise is another person's greatest hate.
Right.
But one of the things, there's kind of two big classifications. There are people that like to move and exercise solo, and they're more of an introvert personality. And there are other people who are more social and extrovert. So that I'm overclassifying, but it's for the sake of the discussion, I think it's appropriate. So you've got kind of these two training or leaders on how we like to move.
So social means I like playing basketball or something like that, whereas I'm more of an individual guy and I want to go run by myself or lift weights by myself.
Right, and there's not good, bad. It's just different. Mm. So one of the things that has been recognized in the Blue Zone is something called Moais. Now, a Moai came out of Okinawa, Japan.
How do you spell that?
M-O-A-I, I believe it is. Moai.
Cool.
Close, anyway. If you look up Blue Zones and Moai, it'll you'll get the right one. And the concept behind the original Moai is that when a group of people were born in the community in that year, they became a Moai. It was like their birth sisters or birth brothers. And for the rest of their lives, they then kind of were each other's friends. But it's not by choosing to be a friend. They were born at the same time. They became a Moai by definition. And then through life, they continued. So they were a very organic whole as a group. So that was the original concept of Moai.
And this was in Okinawa, right?
In Okinawa.
Where you didn't have any place else to go without a boat.
Yeah, exactly. And again, these guys they're great farmers, and they're outdoors moving naturally, but they had this support structure. They were a support group. So they took the word Moai in the Blue Zones and said, let's create Moais that are walking Moais.
Okay.
Right. It's a nice term, but they're basically just a small support group of any place between two, three people, could be a dozen or more, that do something together. And again, it comes back to the social support.
So even if I'm doing individual, I'm lifting weights myself, I don't have to be alone while I'm lifting. There's a point of, I've got a workout buddy, which is essential. When I start lifting, the most essential thing was having a workout buddy. Somebody could look at my form, because it's hard to do in a mirror, and just to have motivation to get there.
It could be done in that way. Moais are usually more little bit larger, you know, several more people. Mm. And one of the things that's nice about this Moai concept is that, you know, this morning at 5:50, I had to reach really deeply this morning to go for my run. I had to reach. I did. Snow and all.
Okay,
but because this was our first snow of the year, and it was kind of, but I had to reach down and pull myself up and say, okay, Daly, if you don't do it now, it's not going to happen today. And we did. Me, myself, and I. But I was doing some talking back and forth before the three of us got out the door. However, if I was in a Moai, I would have had that expectation that I would be out there this morning.
Yeah, yeah.
I would have had somebody knocking on the
door. I
would
have loved that for myself. Maybe me and you should be running.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, are there Moais here in Fairfield?
Yes, we do. We've got a bunch of Moais, and if you, you know, if again, if you contact the Blue Zones group, myself in particular, actually, Deb Arnold is one of our central people.
But that's in
Fairfield.
How
do we do that?
Yep.
How do we contact Deb Arnold?
If you, contact me, and I'll get you in touch with her.
Okay. How do we contact you for those that are listening?
Sure. KDALEY at lisco.com.
That's not tough.
That's not tough.
No, say that one again.
KDALEY at lisco.com. My first initial, my last name.
And you could also email us, by the way, for any show suggestions, which we're supposed to be saying all the time here, for any show suggestions or for any ideas or any comments about anything here. And that's Rob?
That's mentalhealthmatters at KRUUFM.com. And you are listening to Mental Health Matters, KRUUFM.com.
So actually, this brings out a really good point that I want to bring out from what you said earlier, which is you can't change anybody else. But what you can do, and I'm a systemic therapist, which means I always think in circular patterns. No one exists in a vacuum. I'm not that kind of other therapist that just thinks that somehow you magically popped out of the world with no influences apart from mommy and daddy, and let's just talk about mommy and daddy and how everybody's screwing you up, instead of thinking what you can create for your world. And because you're changing, you will then change your partner. The best way to get your partner to work out and take care of themselves is by you being strong in who you need to be and by developing
a relationship with that other person that creates that supportive environment where the easy choice or the correct choice is an easy choice. Can you set up that the set of parameters that makes things easy for another person? Mm. Now, that's not changing the person. That's just making it easy for them to make a correct choice. But it's in the same, like you were saying, in a relationship, if you've got it set up that the choice is a confrontational choice every time you have a interaction, then that's the easy choice in a sense. That's the ready available choice. And if you can train yourself to be always hunting for that which is easy and correct and good.
And you're also setting up, as you said before about the Moais, you're also setting up that expectation for change. You're setting up the expectation that we're healthy people. This is what we are. I'm a healthy guy, and so it's not I'm going to work out today if I wanted to or not because that's who I am. It's not if I want to, if it's cold out, this is just who I am. I'm a guy who works out because that's part of my, and so when you start taking that notion of who I am and combining it with a synergistic force of a couple other people is what you're saying. And it doesn't matter if you're listening to this in Chicago or around the world right now, you develop a team around mm-hmm. you. Mm-hmm. You be the center of that team. You be the strong one and create this. So you don't have to be in here in Fairfield, the center of the universe, by the way. If you haven't figured that out, we are the center of the universe. A black hole has sucked us alive, and that's why we're the center. But that's another issue. But it's like you create yourself to be that center and then create a team around you. How else could somebody do it if they're in Chicago or London right now?
Well, one of the things is to show up where other people are doing the same kind of thing that you are. Find some gravity. We're using black holes as analogies. We have to find some gravity in our lives. And when we find that gravity, then that just gets attracted together. And off you go.
I'd like to jump here and ask a question because it came to my mind when you first introduced Blue Zone. You said there were four basics, and I think the last basic you said was transcendence.
Well, actually, when I use the big four, they're actually not Blue Zone concepts themselves. The Blue Zone has nine aspects to it.
Okay.
The big four is something that's more of myself and some other people that think deeply.
We're on the same page with the big four. Right.
But you did say transcendence.
But here's, yeah.
And I think we ought to define what you mean by transcendence, since there are hopefully other people listening to this besides.
Yeah, no, absolutely, because it could be phrased in different ways. Let's take a look at the four. Most fundamental, I believe, is sleep.
Right.
We have to get adequate sleep. And some people will say, oh, I can do it on 4 hours a night or 3 hours a night. What happens after a time is, yeah, you think you're on your top of your game, but it's very much an illusion. So how much sleep you need, though, there is a variation. And it's any place between 6 to 9 hours for an adult.
No, it's really 7.5 to 9.
Well, that's right. That's what it is. But there is variation, I'm saying.
There is.
It's, and we're going to... 8 hours and 20 minutes.
So let's finish with the exercise here.
So we got sleep. We got good food. We've got activity. Yep. And we've got transcendence. Now, to answer your question... Transcendence in this particular case means something that has a higher purpose to it. It could be the sense of transcendence of within meditation, of experiencing just the self. That's fine. That's a perfectly good explanation. But it could be just a sense of having purpose in life,
okay.
Transcending the immediate. Now, physical activity. When you're talking about physical activity, let's talk about the raw bones of it.
Yeah.
You said 30 minutes a day. Absolutely. We need to get those 30 minutes a day in, minimum of 30 minutes.
Especially if you're feeling stressed, disturbed, depressed, anxious, or ADD, for instance, to ground your brain. You need that every single day. This isn't every couple days, once a week, I'm going to the gym on the weekends.
And those are using the big muscles of the body are the best things to use. And that means the front of your legs, right? The quadricep muscles in your buttocks. So that means walking, running, jogging, cycling, cross-country skiing, moving. Yep. Full body motion.
Right.
30 minutes a day. That is the easiest therapy and the cheapest therapy that
absolutely.
I think exists on the planet.
Do that before you go see your therapist next.
Absolutely. And even if you're going off to see the therapist, do it just before, and you'll have a lot better time while you're
that's
there.
That's right. Won't be talking about stress jar, and you could actually get some work done.
So to me, that's the ultimate. And then you've got to get some strength training in there at some point in time and some postural work, etc. So there's other things that you can do physically, but the big one is aerobic activity.
Okay, good. And
we've come to the end, I think, here.
Yep.
And you're listening to Mental Health Matters with Dr. Scott Terry, Rob Huber, and our special guest, Professor Ken Daly. We thank you very much for coming, Ken. It was a wonderful, wonderful show.
And you will be back with us maybe even the next 3 minutes when we do another one of these. Ken's going to be our regular. Ken is awesome.
And again, this is KRUU FM 101 on your dial, on your radio dial, solar-powered radio from Fairfield, Iowa, the center of the universe.
And we do rebroadcast on 6 Thursday, Tuesday nights, and Thursdays at 12:30. If you have any questions, again, please email us, mentalhealthmatters@kruufm.com. Thanks, everyone, and have a powerful, powerful week. Bye.